This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December the 16th. Yes, believe it or not. Episode 1589. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Friday, looking for the hippest way to start your holiday weekend?
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here? Thank you for making me a part of this.
You eat what you like, or I'll eat what I like. Yeah! Land ho!
Very well done, Jennifer.
That was awesome.
Another great intro by Coach Jen. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Believe it or not, we're like a week away from Christmas. And
amazing.
Jamie's on her Christmas vacation. I saw they were up skiing in Arizona. They went bowling. They did all kinds of stuff. They're having lots of fun. So that's why we have Lisa Wysocki here. Hey, Lisa.
Yes, but we're having fun, too.
Yes, we are, because we have a whole room full of people here today. I would like to introduce to you to one of my heroes in podcasting. His name is Dave Jackson. He does the School of Podcasting. He's been doing podcasting longer than me, for sure. Hello, Dave.
Hello. This is going to be fun, and I've made a mental note. I need to work the word nya into my vocabulary more frequently.
It's funny, isn't it? Nya. We also have Chris, Willie, and Neil from the Messengers documentary. They apparently didn't have enough footage of my ugly mug. They had to come back and get more. So they're here filming as well again today. And they actually did interesting shots this morning of me pouring coffee, me stirring coffee, of the coffee dripping into the pot, all kinds of interesting shots.
Very compelling stuff.
It is. It's just riveting yes. Stuff you're going to see in this documentary. Actually, we are very excited about it. Dave, I heard somebody's doing the voiceover for the documentary.
I don't know who I guess I had to put on my official radio voice guy for that. The Messengers podcast, February 23rd. Yeah.
I really think you should start it that way.
In a world.
So we're going to have a lot of fun here today. There's a lot going on. There's cameras. There's actually lights. We're being blinded here in the studio today. So bear with us. It is a Friday. It is Freestyle Friday, which means anything goes. And Jennifer's going to tell us what we actually do have planned.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Studio A has reached maximum capacity thanks to the Messengers film crew's O Dark 30 arrival this morning at Horse Radio Network headquarters, and poor Lisa Wysocki has been recruited to assist in this most 90-minute-long adventure featuring half a dozen grown men behaving like 12-year-olds. So tuck in your earbuds and enjoy updates from Horse Lifestyle TV and the new TV series Tucker's War, and really bad ads fit for the improv. Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes out to people like Dave Jackson, who's sitting right here across from me for the first time, and others who led the way so that hundreds of thousands of us now could have a really cool job and a really cool adventure. I mean, not too many of us actually have it as a job, but it's have a cool adventure and get to do podcasts. And Dave was one of those that was in the beginning and doing it. It's 10 years for you?
11.
11 years.
Yeah, wow. 2005.
You are getting old. So thank you, by the way. And by the way, Lisa, I kind of feel like I'm at school and the principal's in the room.
You're bad.
You know what I kind of, you know what it kind of feels like? This.
I'm watching you, Zasky. Always watching. machine.
That's what it kind of feels like.
I don't know. When I was in school, I wish I'd had a principal like Dave.
Principal. Yeah. You know, you always have two principals, don't you? In school, you have the mean assistant principal, who's the authoritarian, and then the good cop principal. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dave would have probably been the good cop. All right, your turn, Lisa.
Well, I know where you guys are down in Florida, it's what, going to be like 80 degrees, but here in Nashville, Tennessee, I think it's maybe 16, and I'm headed to Minnesota tomorrow night.
Why? Why are you doing that?
That's where I'm from, originally.
Didn't you convince them that they have to come south for the holidays? That's why you move south?
I know. So 24 below in Minneapolis, Minnesota tomorrow night. So my daily whinny is to all the wonderful horse people who are braving the cold to care for their horses and their barn cats and their dogs and, you know, bundling up like the Pillsbury Doughboy to just to take care of everybody. So kudos to everyone.
I saw the pictures of all of our auditors and listeners posting at their farms with their horses covered in snow and shoveling. I got to tell you, I really don't miss it. I really don't. You know, people said, you're going to miss snow when you come down here. It's like, no, I had 50 years of snow. I'm pretty good now. I'm okay with missing it. Well, let's before we get to our first guest, we have some fun guests for you today. It's all about TV today. And I'm excited to, we're going to be calling Amsterdam here shortly, which is one of the cool parts of our job, too. But I want to chat with Dave for a couple minutes about podcasting. Everybody who listens to this show are podcast aficionados. They like podcasts and they wouldn't be listening. And I consider people who listen to podcasts right now are kind of the new wave. This is new for everybody listening, and they're kind of the early adopters, as the tech people say. So the early adopters are ones who are really interested in it. And, you know, we've come a long way. You know, I've talked about it on the air before, Dave. I think that after that certain NPR show came out, that we were growing slowly on a slow arc up. And then when NPR finally hit it, and of course, that, what was it called again, Dave?
Well, there was Serial.
Serial. Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just waiting for you to say it. So when Serial hit and 100,000 people or 100 million people listened to it, then I think podcasting really started to take off. And do you agree that's when the turn?
What that did, because podcasting has grown every single year. There's been a steady climb. What that really did was ignite a huge amount of media attention. So that's where about every 3 years... you'll get a thing where podcasting is back, and it's like,
and then podcasting died,
and then it died, and then it comes back, and it's like, in behind the scenes, the numbers are going up every single year, and with that, all of a sudden, you're having weird things like Saturday Night Live did a parody of Serial, and it was
you
just,
see the Tonight Show, he did a thing on podcasting, yeah.
So, and what's great about that is if we went back even 5 years ago, Jimmy Fallon would have had to explain what a podcast is. And now it's people are like, oh, yeah, podcasting is some sort of audio thing on your phone, whatever. Yeah. But at least there's not the, you know, do I have to have an iPod to listen to that? You don't have to say that anymore.
We still get, what station are you on? We get that all the time.
And you know what's the difference from regular radio programming and podcasting is to me is the way I'm perceiving it is radio tells me what I'm supposed to listen to. But with podcasting, I can listen to what I want to listen to. It's programming directly for me. And that's what's so cool about it.
Well, and the beauty of it is you can listen to, I mean, we're live now, which is awesome, but you can also listen to this later.
Right.
So now you can.
And by the way, 99.9% do.
Yeah. And so now you can listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it. And if you got a phone, wherever you want to listen to it. So if you're out shoveling stuff right now, you're awesome. So you're good to go.
And a lot of people are when they're listening to this right now. We might, you know, I think, what do you think, Lisa? I think Dave should learn to clean a stall today.
Oh, I think that's an excellent.
I got to add that to my repertoire. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's required. I don't know. Let's see what kind of shoes he has on.
Yeah, I got tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes, yeah, you'll be
that'll
all right.
That'll work.
Just a little brown
when you leave. There was a new study that came out, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it was something about cleaning a stall has been found to be therapeutic in benefit. And so if you're anxious or stressed out, you're supposed to go clean a stall.
It's a great stress reliever. Yeah. There we go.
Does that have anything to do with aromatherapy? Is that the aroma that helps with that? You know, you don't find too many of those candles around.
There's a market for that, maybe.
Yeah, we should. We would be the ones to do it, too, wouldn't we, Lisa?
Yes, yes.
Make your house smell like a barn.
Now, you do a number of podcasts. I can't keep up. There's one I listen to every time, and that's School of Podcasting, because I learn stuff, and we've changed what we do here at Horse Radio Network thanks to what you do on your show and what things you impart. Mm-hmm. We have changed a lot of the things we do. And Jennifer's so sick of me coming in. Because your show comes out on Sundays, and so it'll be Monday afternoon. I'll come in and say, Jennifer, we need to change this. And she'll go, oh, God, you were listening to Dave again.
I swear I'm going to do an episode I'm going to do an episode called This Thing is Loaded, because it's amazing. You think it's just you talking into a microphone. And then I do a podcast about weight loss, and had somebody email me back and said, hey, I lost 100 pounds, and I'm like, really? That's amazing. Great job. And she said, well, yeah, you said don't worry about losing 100 pounds. Just lose 10 pounds 10 times. And so I did. And it's one of those things where, like, so you actually listen to what I said. Okay, that's wild. It's like you kind of forget that, well, okay, people are listening, and they might actually change something based on what you said. So that's an interesting show.
Awesome.
I've inspired people there through my failure, because it's a weight loss show, and then it's a weight gain show. And then it's a weight loss show. It's a weight gain show. It's been interesting.
Do you give your weight at the beginning of every show?
I do, usually. Yeah. Especially if I've gone down. So, but on occasion, I'll be like...
So if I listen and don't hear your weight, we'll know that it hasn't been a good week.
It hasn't been a good week, yeah. So that's the way it works.
That's funny. I have an update, too, on the horse front here that just came in, breaking news. I did not know about this at all. So, Dave, there's this race in Mongolia. Yes, the country of Mongolia. It's called the Mongol Derby. It happens every year, and you ride crazy, wild, unbroke Mongolian ponies on a 1,000-kilometer race. And you change them every half a day, so you're riding like 26 different Mongolian ponies across the steppes of Mongolia. And there's like 40 competitors, and it's crazy. You have to sleep in the gurs with the Mongolian people and eat the Mongolian food and drink the fermented yak's milk and all of that stuff. Mm. Everybody gets sick.
Fermented yak's milk.
Everybody gets
sick. Just like
mom
used to make.
They all get violently ill during this ride. And so you're riding crazy unbroke ponies that just go like a bat out of hell with no direction. They can barely steer. And your directions are, apparently, when you leave in the morning off the camp, the directions are, that way. Then they point. And that's how you're going to ride 100 miles that day that way. So that's the directions. Well, now...
Isn't there a video like on Facebook or something about that? I think I
oh yeah, there's a
so
bunch
familiar.
Of them. It's crazy.
Again, not being the horse, saddles are involved in this?
Yeah, they barely. Have saddles. Yeah, okay. But you don't stay on. Yeah. Everybody gets bucked off at one point or another.
Nice.
Well, what happened was we have this guest that comes on every Monday from Horse Nation, one of the most popular blogs in the horse world. And she comes on and she says, we bugged her the one day and said, Leslie, you got to go do this. You got to sign up for the Mongol Derby. Now, it's $13,000 to enter. So, that doesn't include getting over to Mongolia.
But that does include the fermented...
Yes, it does include that. Yes. Right. So she said, okay, I'm going to do it. So she signed up. They called her, and they had 400 applicants, and they only take 40. They called her, and she was approved. So Leslie is going. So last week, or Monday on the episode, we had somebody who did it on with her, and it was the best half hour of radio ever, because she was just telling all the nightmare stories, and Leslie was getting more and more scared as the episode went on. Well, now, two of my other hosts, Dr. Wendy and Jamie, have signed up. Well, I found out 2 days ago, Wendy has now been approved for an interview. She hasn't gotten in. Oh. She's approved for an interview. Now, I also just found out Mary Kitzmiller, one of my other hosts, she just wrote, so on a lark, I randomly filled out the Mongol Derby application a few nights ago. They want to interview me. So we now have four hosts that have signed up to be in the Mongol Derby.
So you're going to be podcasting from Mongolia?
I guess I'm going to have to go cheer them on at the beginning. Maybe I could volunteer and be at like each checkpoint helping out.
You could be the guy that points that way.
I said to Jennifer, I said, we should volunteer. She said, you can volunteer to go to Mongolia and drink fermented mare's milk. I'm not doing it. So... All right. Speaking of news here, about a year ago, we had a lovely lady on by the name of BB, who is from Horse Lifestyle TV, and she is in Amsterdam. This is a European network, although all in English. They have a ton of terrific programming, and I just wanted her to come back and kind of give us an update on where Horse Lifestyle TV is, because it was a new adventure, and as we all know, new adventures in the media world sometimes make it, sometimes don't. Well, theirs made it, and I'm going to call live on Skype here. Hopefully, we can get BB on from Amsterdam today.
Isn't that a cool thing? You're just saying calling Amsterdam.
Yes, I mean, we are. So that important. Is a cool thing. BB, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us. You're on the air.
Thank you, Glenn and Lisa, for having me.
Well, it is great to have you on the show today. Horse Lifestyle TV, we had you guys on when you were just an infant, when you were a baby in diapers.
Yes, we are live, for we just celebrated our first anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a milestone for any business, and especially a media business.
Yeah, it is. It is. You learn a lot and you gain a lot of new insights, and we cannot wait to kick off the new year.
Well, I just got a message from one of our listeners, Rosie, who said, "Oh my God, I love Lifestyle TV so much. Amazing content." So there you go.
Oh, really? Oh, that's always good to hear. Yeah, we are very proud of our online community. I mean, we have some very loyal fans who really believe in what we do and support us. And I want to thank everybody who helps us make it through the first year and continue the next year.
I was looking at your website here. I hadn't been there in probably 2 months, and I was looking. You've added so much good new content.
Yeah. We want to keep it updated all the time. And we also make our own productions. We recently launched our latest movie about Chris Irwin, Canadian horse trainer. And we did a production about Gulaga, the Lusitano horse fair in Portugal.
Well, wow. I have an idea for you. We were just talking about it. Four of my hosts now have signed up. One has been accepted, and the other two have interviews. So we might have three hosts riding the Mongol Derby next year.
Oh, really?
So there you go. We need to do a joint effort to cover them doing the Mongol Derby.
Yeah, that's also a great story.
So that's an idea. We'll have to work on that together.
Yeah.
And because you know what,
I'm gonna send Neil over to film it.
Yeah, I did have one of my listeners say, you know, people can die doing this. What's going to happen to the network if all your hosts are dead? And I said, oh, that's a good point. I got to think about that. I don't think anybody's actually ever died. They've gotten really hurt, but not died.
Yeah. It's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. You should see the warnings on this, Dave. The warnings that you have to sign is you could die. It says right on there. You could die. You could come to physical harm. You will get sick because everybody gets sick with the food and everything. So, yeah.
And you pay for this.
And pay $13,000. That's right. Okay. Don't you wish people had to pay us $13,000 to do anything, BB?
Yeah. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
BB, I'm interested to know, why did you start Horse Lifestyle TV? I mean, what was your motivation in getting this going? Because it really is an awesome site for people who haven't been there. They really need to visit the website.
Yeah, it is an awesome site. I agree, but I cannot take credit for that. I'm not the founder of HorseLifestyle.tv. That's Vanessa Somers. And actually, she created it or got the idea when she was with her own horse. And she has an Arabian, and at the time, he was a two-year-old Arabian stallion. And she wanted to train him. But there are so many different technologies, philosophies. What's right? What do you have to do with your horse, and who's the best trainer? So she was looking for a place where all the best of the horse content, all the best things of the horse world were in one spot, so she could learn from different people. And it happened to be that her brother had an IT company, so she said, okay, I want to start my own TV channel for horses. And he laughed at her and he said, horses? Who rides horses? So they did. She showed him the market study and the research, and he was like, "Oh my God, there are a lot of people who love horses." And so they decided to build their own platform. That took a couple of years because back then, 5 years ago, Netflix was just starting, and yeah, you couldn't buy an OTT platform. You couldn't license an OTT platform. Well, you could license an OTT platform, but you had to pay like $30 million. Mm. So they thought, okay, let's build it ourselves. And that's what they did. And I joined them 2 years ago. And now we are just exploring the world to see what kind of coverage there is, what kind of content, horse people, horse trainers, best kept secrets of the horse world. And we want to film them and capture their knowledge and to share it with everybody else.
And you guys are out of Amsterdam, right?
Yes. We are based in Amsterdam, but since it's an OTT platform, we are worldwide. So everybody who has internet access, a laptop, a smartphone, computer, can go to horselifestyle.tv.
Yeah, and I'm just amazed at the wide variety of coverage that you have and just all the different things. I mean, it doesn't matter, as you said, where you are. I mean, you could be in Australia or Japan, you know, and you're going to find content there that's going to be interesting to you if you like horses.
Yeah, that's what we hope to achieve. And we have content. That's why most of our content is in English, because English is the largest territory with speaking. But we try to gather everything, because maybe if you're competing and reining and then you see somebody riding dressage, you can also learn from them. And it's there are a lot of disciplines within the horse world, but we strive to go beyond disciplines and just have fun with your horse. And if you want to train, go train. And if you just want to look at them, just look at them. But
yeah,
be open to learn and to become the best for yourself and for your horse, because horses are very complex animals.
What else I like about this is you have series, you have films, you have movies, you have magazines and books. I mean, you got a little bit of everything on here. It's not just one genre. You do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Our main focus is video, though, but we also have magazines and books, so you can also read on your iPad or tablet, or just bring along a stack of magazines on your holiday, but don't have to pay for the overweight.
That's nice. One of your programs, I know Netflix is getting into original programming big time and doing a great job, and I know that's something that you guys took on this year. Do you have a favorite of yours, something that you guys produced that you went, okay, I really like that one?
Well, I really liked the Chris Irwin movie, The Irwin Insights. Chris Irwin is a trainer, like I said, from Canada. And if you see him live, it's you just have to see him. You can read about him, you can learn from him, but you have to see him. And we went there to film last year a couple of times to film him, and we made a film about him. And it's always tricky to capture somebody in a film and see how his fan base respond. Is that the Chris Irwin they know and where they are fan of? And we already have fans from Chris Irwin saying us, okay, I already watched the film 5 times and I'm still learning. And that's just great. That's what we want to do.
And I think that's a sign of good film, you know, something, and it's like a good book or any medium. Yeah. You want to go back, even with podcasts, you know, you want to go back over and over and over just to pick up every bit of information that you can. So that's really neat.
Yeah, we have a great production team and a great cameraman, and that's very helpful if you're a video company. But that's something that works out very well. And we are planning a couple of other own productions next year. We are... do you know Louis Valenza, the master of dressage?
Well,
he lives in Portugal too, and he's in his 70s, and he's just great with horses. And we also want to capture his legacy. He's behind Passionata, the horse show.
Oh, okay. Okay. And that's, you know, I think that's so interesting too, because, you know, your site is a site where people can go and just discover new trainers and new ways of doing things. And just because maybe we here in the States are doing something a certain way, or a certain trainer that we might follow does something a certain way, doesn't mean that we can't learn something new from somebody else. And you guys can provide that.
Exactly. And that's what we want to do, inspire people and let them see all there is in the horse world, because there are a lot of excellent horse people. They are just good in training and working with horses, not in marketing, not in advertising. So they are just in the middle of nowhere doing their things, and they are doing great work. And if you don't have the budget to travel all the way over there, or you cannot visit any of his or her clinics, we want to film them and put it on horselifestyle.tv.
Well, awesome. Where can people find it? What's it cost? What are the details there, Bibi?
Where they can find it?
Horselifestyle.tv is the website. And what's the membership fee?
Well, we have a lot of free content. So you can just go to horselifestyle.tv and watch a lot of free content. We also have premium content. And a premium membership is $12.95 per month. And if you go to free.horselifestyle.tv, so just the website with free in front of it, then you can have a free test ride. So you have the first month free. So you can explore everything you want to watch. And with a subscription, you have just access to everything. And since we are live for 1 year, we also are doing this month, you can have an annual subscription, so for 1 year, and instead of paying over 155 euros or dollars, it's now for 60, but that's a limited holiday offer.
And how do they get that? It'll automatically be put in?
You can go to gift.horselifestyle.tv, because it's a holiday gift. If you go to gift.horselifestyle.tv, you can see the limited holiday offer.
Terrific. Well, we'll post that in our show notes and also on our Facebook page as well. Thank you, Bibi. It was so much fun having you on and getting caught up on the network. And I'm so excited for you guys. And I just see nothing but growth. Doing a good job.
I hope if you're willing to let me come back next year, I hope I can still show some growth and we are still doing all the things we want to do.
Very good. Well, Merry Christmas over there in Amsterdam.
Merry Christmas to you too. And thank you, Glenn and Lisa, for having me.
Thanks, Bibi.
Bye.
Well, that was terrific. It's always fun to get caught up on all the different networks that are out there. There's so much video content coming out now. And
there really is.
And they kind of have put it all in one place. You know, you can go to YouTube and you can find a lot of it by really picking, you know, really spending a lot of time trying to find it. But I kind of like that they've wrapped it all up and doing original content now, too.
Oh, yeah. They make it easy.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. Well, let's hear from our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. And then we're going to come back. We have another guest. He's a producer of a new TV series coming out. And he's pretty well known in Hollywood for doing lots of different work. But this one does involve horses. So we're going to have him on just a minute.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, we're back here on Horses in the Morning. And of course, if you're just joining us, we have Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting in the studio. Lisa Wysocki is filling in for Jamie today. And we have the whole crew of the Messengers podcast or Messengers movie in here recording as well. Now, I wanted to make an announcement about Kentucky Performance Products, and we're very excited about this. And that's that Kentucky Performance Product has signed on as title sponsor for the Fridays for another year. This will be their seventh year with Horses in the Morning, and we're going into their ninth year on the Horse Radio Network. So they've also, and I'm so excited about this, we're starting the World Equestrian Games radio show. We're 18 months away from the World Equestrian Games in North Carolina. We're going to be doing the World Equestrian Games radio show. I can officially announce to you all, and I know some of you were waiting, Samantha is back from the show we did back for the 2010 WEG. She is back, and she will be co-hosting with me. We're going to be doing two shows a month right up to WEG, and then we'll do a daily show all 16 days of the World Equestrian Games live from North Carolina. So Kentucky Performance Products has signed on to be the title sponsor of that show as well. So it's a go. We're good to go.
And that is awesome. Good for them and good for you.
This is exciting because I don't know too many other podcasts that have had a sponsors. Well, when we get to WEG, Karen with Kentucky Performance Products will be in her 10th year with us and not missing a week. Has that happened? Is that happened too often in podcasting?
No, not very often, if at all. That's amazing.
Yeah, and she's a great sponsor, and you guys got to see her actually at the last PodFest we did. She did a video in her warehouse.
Nice.
So that was nice talking about why she likes podcasting and why she supports it. And she's also signed on, for those that listen to multiple shows, she has also signed on to be the continued sponsor of the Dressage Show. So all across the board for Kentucky Performance Products, and we thank Karen for all of her support and wish all of the people over there at Kentucky Performance Products a very Merry Christmas. It's very exciting news for us, and I'm sure for the listeners as well. And Lisa, our guest is ready.
That is great. You know, Stephen Savage has the new TV series, Tucker's War, and all kinds of TV projects going on, all kinds of production projects, and I just can't wait to talk to him. So, Steve, are you there?
I am here. Thanks. How is everybody?
We're great. Now, are you in California?
I am in California. It's a little early and it's kind of rainy where I'm at. I'm at my cabin in the mountains, Idlewild, California, which is 2 hours east of LA, but 6,000 feet up. So it's a whole different world.
You know, I've been there. It's so beautiful. So beautiful there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. But these are movie making hours. So 6:30 a.m. is nothing new for me.
Yeah. And you have quite a history in the film and television world. And I'm so excited to hear about Tucker's War. I went to your website and your IMDb mm-hmm. page. So tell the listeners just the nutshell version of what Tucker's War is about.
Well, what's interesting is the last three projects, the TV project, Tucker's War, my next film, which is The Wind of Heaven, and an outdoor play called Ramona, which is California's official outdoor play, all of them full of horses, all of them Western themed. And I've been fortunate enough to kind of be involved in all these projects. So from a standpoint of someone who loves Westerns and who loves horses, to have all these great projects fall in my lap is great. So we've just finished the pilot for a new TV series called Tucker's War, which is takes place in 1920, which is an interesting time period because
yes,
World War One had just ended, you know, airplanes, automobiles everywhere, and yet there were still a lot of people living a horse sort of world. You know, people were still had wagons, and horses were still the main form of transportation for a lot of rural people. So
yes,
it's an
yes.
interesting time. And so when I came up with the project, it was actually a project that would be produced by a new entity I've come up with, which is the Summer Hawk Film Institute, which is an institute to teach the art of filmmaking. And I don't mean the glamour stuff, not directing, not movie star stuff, but more just the nuts and bolts of of camera people and lighting people. And the Institute is set up to teach Native American kids the art of making movies so they can go out and get jobs.
Doesn't Tucker's War have a Native American element and Latino element in it?
It does, yeah. Yeah, it's a funny thing. The Southern California tribes, you know, there's a rich mix of not only Native American, but Mexican heritage as well. And it all kind of comes together in this really amazing sort of cultural blend. So unlike my next film, The Wind of Heaven, which has more of a Plains Indian theme, this is a unique sort of tribal outlook, which we were very excited about representing.
Yeah, and if the listeners, you know, go, you know, just search it out. Is it, it's tuckerswar.com. Is that the website?
I believe that's it.
Yeah, Tucker's War. So anyway, I was on there last night. And I think what's really cool is you have this huge, cast of characters and you can click on everything. And one of the characters is named Captain Hanratty. And I just personally find that so interesting because my mother's maiden name is Hanratty and it's not a very usual name. So, so I was wondering just where that character came from.
All of the names in the show are actually actual historic people who lived in Southern California, the Los Angeles through the San Diego and the Inland Empire areas in 1920. Now, the story is not based on any real events,
right. But
I took the names directly from people we have a town doctor in the thing. It seems a little cliche, okay, it's a Western, they got the doc in town, but there really was a doc named Doc Hopkins who, that's what he was. He was one of those old town doctors. So we
that's really neat. That's cool. Now,
great.
As far as your horse thing, your horse part of it, how accurate are you?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Steve, when we see movies that you know the director or nobody involved knows anything about horses, and you just see all the mistakes and you see the fake whinnies and all of that stuff, I was so happy to see that you're a horse guy because we're hoping for none of that.
Well, the whole thing is you don't trust me to be accurate on all things horse because though I'm a horse lover and I have owned horses in the past, I don't take that on myself. So I was mentioning before the Ramona play, California's official outdoor play. This play has been going on since 1923, and it's longest running, ongoing running play in North America. I was commissioned to rewrite the play. Obviously, a play from 1923 doesn't move so well into the 21st century in this age.
Sure.
When you want to get kids interested and they're playing Xbox and they've got their smartphones. So I was commissioned by the board of directors of the Ramona play to rewrite the script, which I did. And in that process, I met the real working cowboy actors that are in the play. It's hard to describe. It takes place in this 6,000 seat amphitheater in Southern California. It's a beautiful outdoor setting. And they have real horses and real wagons and they're firing blank guns, and it's sort of the way I rewrote it. It's sort of like Buffalo Bill's Wild West show meets Romeo and Juliet, let's say. And
through that,
I met them. Yeah, check it out, Ramona, ramona.com, and you'll see the it's beautiful. But we have a dozen real cowboys. That's and a lot more horses than that, pulling wagons and things like that. But there's a dozen cowboys who play, you know, good guys and bad guys in the play. And that's how I met all these guys. And we instantly had this bond. And they're the ones in Tucker's War. I brought them all on board for the show, Tucker's War. So, and I have a great wrangler. Sue Ferguson is my wrangler. And I've left it to them to say, what's realistic? What saddles are period to 1920? Because nothing bugs me more than I'll see a Western set in, say, 1880, and it's obvious these are 20th century.
Yeah, they're riding
saddles in a
modern English saddle. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many
cantles.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many horse people
really
will.
And,
yeah, so many horse people will just not watch if they see something like that. You know, it's a total turnoff.
Right, and so I can't really take credit for that. It's basically, I'll take credit for hiring the right people to do the job.
There you go.
And so when you have real working cow men and cow women, horse people involved in your production, they're the ones that'll tell you, you know, that's not really realistic. Now, having said that, we've caught a few things. We have a mule-driven wagon in the pilot episode, and I didn't notice it. Nobody really paid attention, but after we got into the edit, we saw that some of the ropes were nylon ropes, which is not period 1920. But eventually you just have to go, you know what, we'll catch it next time. We won't let it happen again, but we're not going to get too weird about stuff.
It is
like
the
that.
Pilot but, episode.
Yeah.
Now I have a couple questions about that. So it's a Western, and you know, a couple of your projects you're working on right now are Westerns. Westerns died out for such a long period of time. I love Westerns, by the way. So they died out for such a long period of time. Do you see them, obviously you're betting your money on them resurging now.
Well, they're definitely coming back, but you know, everything, I mean, I think Hollywood just burned everyone out on Westerns. It wasn't that the Western was any less a genre than it was before. It's just that from the early days of the silent movies all the way through all the TV Westerns of the 60s, I think people just got Western burnout and stopped going.
Well,
and
you're
that'll
right.
happen even, you know.
I mean, for a while there, it was Bonanza and Gunsmoke and High Chaparral. I mean, that was about all you could really watch on television.
Yeah, I think between the 50s when television started and the late 1960s into the early 1970s, it's something like 75% of the programming was Western.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that and you go, wow, that takes kind of the uniqueness out of it. And what's good now is there's still only a few Westerns, but they're more and more being made. But now it's a unique thing for younger audiences. They're going, oh, wow. You know, they're learning an historic part of our American heritage.
Yeah.
Through these new Westerns. So, yeah, it is coming back. My next film, The Wind of Heaven, is what we call a contemporary Western. It takes place nowadays, but it's about a young Marine officer who comes back from Afghanistan with post-traumatic stress disorder, and his family's expecting him to take over the ranch in Montana, a big cattle ranch. His father has passed away earlier, and his mom is really counting on him, but his mind's just not right. And as you guys know, running a horse and cattle ranch, it takes a lot, you know, it's a hard job, and he's just not ready for it. And this movie, what happens is he goes to the VA hospital. He does all of that stuff that you normally do, and nothing seems to get him back to help him get back on track. But through circumstance, our hero meets a Crow Indian spirit healer who lives up in the mountains. And through this man and through a herd of wild Mustang, which are endangered, he starts to realize he needs to get his mind together just to help this herd of horses. And so my next film is also very heavily horse themed. So everybody's going to be riding. Then we've got the wild Mustangs. And so even with a contemporary flavor, even though the movie takes place today, it still has that Western feel and lots of horses.
I got to tell you, you just said everything that every horse girl will want to watch this movie.
Yes.
It has cowboys. It has Mustangs. Everything's there. You're perfect.
Yep.
They'll all watch.
You'll appear.
So I have a question. I have a question on your production. You know,
sure.
And I've just as a horse person, I've been involved just in a few television productions, and I know that you've got to do a lot of stuff in post-production. And so how heavily do you have to get into that, particularly with the horse scenes, like with the fake whinnies or you know, just adding different sound effects in? How do you do that? And when do you decide, oh, we need something here?
There's something about, let's just say, horse whinny. There you go. There's something about that sound that just is perfect at certain times. So you'll have a time where there's a scene in Tucker's War where the lead actor is he has to pull a rifle on someone and shoot them, and it's kind of a violent scene, and it's just life or death kind of thing, and it's just right after it just goes silent after one guy hits the ground and the other guy's still standing, and then we push the camera in on the man's face, who just, you know, our hero's face. And a horse naturally whinnied in the background while we were shooting. We had horses on set. They weren't in this scene. They were kind of off. It was takes place inside this log cabin. The horses were outside. And as we were doing this one push in on the actor, the horse just went off and whinnied. And I got together with my sound guy and we said, let's not take it out. It's perfect. So sometimes you get lucky with horses. They'll just do exactly the right thing at the right time. So, they say working with horses and working with kids, or working with animals and working with kids, is the hardest thing to do. But I enjoy working with horses a lot. I just like having them on set. And there's an energy that happens when you bring a lot of LA production people out into the middle of nowhere to shoot a movie. They're not used to the wilderness. They're not used to horses. And the energy is just something else when you've got horses on a set. These city people, film production people, just their whole, you can see them light up whenever they turn around and the Wranglers are bringing horses onto set. There's just something about it that's really magical.
I've seen them filming at farms before. This is out in California. They were actually doing commercials, and it was at a friend of ours' farms who had zebras, and they were filming the zebras running. For an entire day for, that 10-second shot. And it was just so bizarre when we pulled in, because all of the white tents are set up, and the nice tablecloths and all this stuff. And I'm going, okay, this does not fit. This does not fit in this scene. So when you mentioned that, it was just like, now I can picture it.
So when you're working with kids, I know that there's limits as to how often, the child can work. Is there any limit as to how often the horse can work?
No, but when you have great wranglers on set, they'll let you know. And I said, a lot of the actors in the film are real horse people. So they'll let you know too. We have a stunt woman who does, she doubles one of our actresses, and she does a lot of fast riding in this thing. And she will tell me, I make sure that there's not a chain of command where the wrangler has to talk to somebody else who talks to somebody else to tell me what's going on. I make sure that like this woman who's our stunt rider can just talk to me directly and say, hey, Steven, she's not going to run again. She's just not up for it. And that tells me, okay, so we're done here. And I will say, how's she doing? Or how's he doing? Can he do another take for us? And sometimes they'll say, yeah, of course, he's having fun. And that's the cool thing too, because people start to realize that horses have personalities.
Oh yeah.
And when you have someone in the saddle who can feel that horse's personality changes, and that person is telling you, yeah, he's really up for this. In fact, he's having a good time doing this chase scene. Let's do another one. That's the only way it works when you work with horses. And I've heard stories of directors who just say, no, make him do it again, make him do it again. And I don't get that. I think you have to treat the horses on set just like any other actor. They're, if you're not going to get something out of them, you have to move on and say, let's not push this.
Yeah, and horses get to a point where they say enough's enough, and I'm just not going to do it for you anymore either. I mean, they get to that point where they're like your starlet too. That's just going, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. See y'all tomorrow.
What's different is with the Wind of Heaven, dealing with the wild Mustangs. We were up in near Red Lodge, Montana. We went up to the Crow Indian Reservation up there. The Crow Nation people opened their arms to us and gave us the grand tour, and we saw some of the wild herds that they have on the reservation. And my misconception was funny, because when you're, wild Mustangs, I've been around horses all my life, but wild Mustangs I don't have a lot of experience with in, being from Southern California. And I had this impression that it was thousands of horses altogether. And I got there, and the Big Day family, they told me that's the one of the elder families up there. They said, nah, it's not really like that. Usually you have six or seven or a dozen. They hang out. And, so it was, I have to make that work that, in our minds as an audience, we love to see 100 horses running together. But in order to make that happen, you have to create Hollywood magic, which means you have to bring a bunch of horses together, because that's not usually how they how they operate. You know, the
herders, no, they don't get along that well.
Right.
Only so many stallions in a herd. You got that problem.
You were talking about the Native American aspect of Tucker's War, which is there, but also the Wind of Heaven. I've got the opportunity to work with two of the greatest Native American actresses. My friend Irene Bedard, who's the voice of Disney's Pocahontas.
Oh, yeah.
She was in that great movie, Smoke Signals. She and I, this will be our third project together. She's in The Wind of Heaven. And also Tantu Cardinal, everybody knows from Dances with Wolves and Legends of the Fall. And she's in the film. So I'm really thrilled to be working with them. And they're both active in the wild Mustang preservation movement across the country. So I've been learning a lot from some of the actors too on the issues of not just domestic horses, but wild horses as well.
Well, thank you so much for bringing the Western back. And, you know, I love them. And if they're done right, I think that it can become a thing again. And hopefully you're the one to lead the way. Now, is Tucker's War out for you're shopping it now? What's the story?
No, I'm the founder and owner of the Idlewild International Film Festival with my partner, Trinity Houston. And so that takes place every January. This year, it's January 5th through the 15th. And we're doing the premiere at the film festival. So we'll show the pilot and then we'll probably go back in and do another edit after that. And then we'll decide where it's going to go. And then as far as feature films go, The Wind of Heaven, we go into production spring of next year. And that'll probably be out sometime early 2019, I would think. So that's more of a theatrical movie. And I've been thrilled real quick just to let you guys know that The Wind of Heaven, the whole horse theme, has brought in people to the project that I would never associate with horses. Like Roger Taylor, the drummer for Queen and one of their songwriters, he's scoring the movie because he's been getting into scoring film. And Roger fell in love with the script because of the horse theme. And he's from England, and you wouldn't think, but you know, American Westerns are just in his heart. He couldn't wait to start talking music about this big Western epic. And then Justin Hayward, the lead singer for the Moody Blues. So he's come on board simply because he read the script and he loves horses. Absolutely loves horses. So he said, may I get involved? Can I write a song? So he wrote the theme song for the movie. It's called The Wind of Heaven. And his tour next year, the 50th anniversary of the song Knights in White Satin. I'm sure you guys know this song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're doing a tour. And Justin is calling the tour the Wind of Heaven Tour because the whole theme of horses and the great outdoors in the West is just, it reaches across borders and across oceans. And people in Europe just love this idea of Americana and horses and horses and horses. And it's great the way that the theme of these amazing animals can bring people together from all over just because of their spirit and what people feel inside of them when they see a horse. It's like, wow, there's something visceral that really hits home to a lot of people.
Well, and Steve, it has to be very gratifying for you to be able to, you know, to share the horse and to share your vision with so many people and to see it grow and grow with all of your projects. So kudos to you for being the visionary.
Well, thanks so much. I'm eating it up right now because I may go, after I finish these two projects, I may go 10 years without doing another Western. That's just the way it kind of works, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I'm really eating it up right now and trying to get as much out of it as I can because it's really a good time. And working with horses, as you guys know, and working with great wranglers and people, working with horse people in general, you learn so much in just a few hours that you had no idea about these animals. You just look at them and go, well, it's a horse. I've been seeing them in TV and movies for years. But when you're up close and personal with a couple of amazing horses, it really opens you up to, there's something that just hits your mind and your heart. And it feels like, you know, I have a Celtic background. So when I hear bagpipes, a lot of people just close their ears. But to me, it just hits my heart. I think it's the same way with horses. I think there's something ancient And there's a connection between man and horse that goes back so far that it's in our DNA now. And I can't find that fact.
We're just going to end with that. That was perfect. You can find it at Tucker's War on Facebook. Just search for Tucker's War. You'll find it there. Probably the best place to go to keep track of what's going on. And we look forward to seeing it.
Great. And check out thewindofheaven.com too. And you can learn everything about that Western, which we'll be filming next year. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
guys.
Steve.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Western's coming back. Yes.
Love it. Yes. Love it. Yes.
More horses, the better. We've had a horse drought in some of the movies here lately. So, and actually somebody who cares about getting it right, which is the other thing.
Well, and that's so important because, as I said, if I see somebody, you know, getting on the wrong side or tying a horse up to their bit, I mean, I just turn it off. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, if she hears one fake whinny, she's out. she's gone.
I can relate.
Guys are crazy. All right. Let's take a break for another one of our sponsors, Ovation. And then we have a song for you. This was by the Johnson family. All the kids, I think there's 6 or 7 or 8. I can't keep track anymore, but they're listeners of ours. He's the one that won the grand prize at the Radiothon this year, and all of his stuff has started to arrive, all his big boxes of stuff. And they did a song for us last year called The 12 Days of Christmas. The whole family sang it, and I just thought it'd be fun to hear again before the holidays are over. We're coming back with really bad ads. Dave's here. We're going to make him read a really bad ad or two. We're going to put him to work. You know, he can't just be here sloughing off. So we'll be back.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
This is the 12 Horse Days of Christmas from the Johnson family. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 riding helmets, 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 hoof boots, 3 riding helmets, 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
5 flexen forks,
4 hoof boots, 3 riding helmets, 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 dooley halters,
5 flexen forks,
4 hoof boots, 3 riding helmets, 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 stalls to muck and 6 dooley halters,
5 flexen forks,
4 hoof boots, 3 riding helmets, 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 flattened changes, 7 stalls to muck out, 6 dooley halters,
5 flexen forks,
4 hoof boots, 3 riding helmets, 2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 milk creek spreaders,
8 flying changes,
7 stalls to muck out, 6 dooley halters,
5 flexen forks,
4 hoof boots, 3 riding helmets,
2 sets of stirrups
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 miles of Tevis,
9 Mill Creek spreaders,
8 flattened changes,
7 stars of mucka,
6 dually halters,
5 flicks and forks,
4 hoof boots,
3 riding helmets,
2 sets of stairs,
and an illusion rooster in a tree. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 diners naked,
10 miles at Tevis,
9 Mill Creek spreaders,
8 flattened changes,
7 shows of mucka,
6 dually halters,
5 flexen forks,
4 hoof boots,
3 riding helmets,
2 sets of stairs,
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a 12-hour podcast,
11 diners naked,
10 miles of Tevis,
9 Mill Creek spreaders,
8 flying changes,
7 stars to mucka,
6 dually halters,
5 flexing forks,
4 hoof boots,
3 riding helmets,
2 sets of stairs,
and an Andalusian rooster in a tree.
Thank you, Johnson family. That was great. Good
I
job.
I loved that.
I love when they put the sponsors in, too. That always makes the sponsors feel good. Now, you heard Naked Dining in there. I was just telling Dave before the show started that we did an episode of the Stable Scoop Show on Naked Dining because it's become a thing. And then I had to confess to everybody that I'd actually been to a nudist camp. So the whole conversation went downhill from there. And it's still one of our most popular episodes on the Stable Scoop Show. So that's where Naked Dining came from. And of course, Jamie and her Andalusian roosters. You know, so.
Yes, only you, Glenn. Only you.
Well, we are Horses in the Morning. I am here with Lisa Wysocki. Jamie's on vacation. We'll be back on Monday. We'll have a show for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And then we have some great recorded ones for the holiday break that we put together for you. We recorded the All Hosts episode the other night. There were 8 hosts, and we had a great time with that. Ask some very personal questions, so that should be fun for all of you. That's coming up. And, of course, we're brought to you today by our title sponsor, KPPUSA.com. Now, Lisa, before we get to really bad ads, there's something I have to bring up. Dave, Lisa is a very well-known author. She's written a series of murder mysteries set in the horse world. And, Lisa, do we have any news that we can announce, by the way, or not?
Well, the only news we have is that the 4th in the Cat Enright series is called The Maine Equation, M-A-N-E, and it will be out next fall sometime. I don't have a date yet.
And are we in it? Are we in it? Are we in it?
Yes. Yes. The whole Horses in the Morning crew is in the book. That, you know, you missed out on the first one, but you worked in really well into the storyline in the second and third books, and of course, well in the fourth.
How many books is Dave in? Dave, how many books are you in?
In terms of novels?
Yeah, novels.
That would be 0.
Ah! It's good to know the author, Dave. It's
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so much fun to have Kat Enright, you know, do interviews with the Horses in the Morning crew, you know, Kat being my main character. But it's great that you guys are so good.
Yeah, because we do such hard-nosed reporting here at Horses yes. in the Morning. That's what we are, journalists.
Oh,
that's funny.
But yeah. So next fall, next Christmas, it'll make a great gift. But you know, in the meantime, there's the first 3 books too, the Cat Enright series.
Do I still get to read it ahead of everybody else?
Yes, you do.
I feel like I'm special when I get the copy that's like typed out. You know, I feel like I'm special when I get that first copy that doesn't even look like a book yet.
So well, you cool. are special.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. We really appreciate you including us in those. And maybe we'll have some more announcements there that we can talk about soon, too.
Yes.
Well, now that I've picked on Dave and made him feel small, we're going to go on with really bad ads because that's David's favorite time to join us and listen in. I see your name popped up because you're on Mixler, so I can see when you pop in and actually are listening.
Ah, nice.
All right, you get to help out today, Dave, though.
Excellent.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, Lisa and Dave, we have a unique prizes for the winners of this month's Really Bad Ads, and I'm so excited about these because they were done by some people that are very special to us. They're one of a kind. Mary Kitzmiller, of course, hosts once a month here on the show, does a Western training episode with us. She got this new, fancy, very expensive router that she can computerize, and I said, well, you got to make the Horse Radio Network logo on wood. So she made this sign that's about 20 inches by 20 inches. It's the Horse Radio Network logo, and you could see it there, Lisa.
That's amazing.
So cool looking, isn't it? It's really cool.
It's got the logo, and then the blue on the bottom, and then HRN kind of sideways in red. It's awesome. I mean, I want one.
I know, I do. I told her she better send me one. But there was one that went out, the Nicole Lutzma, who just got engaged. Congratulations. Nicole Lutzma actually sang the song that we opened Radiothon with, which is a special honor, and she got the first one of these. She got the first signed copy of these signs, and the second person, I haven't got mine yet, the second person to get the sign will be a winner that Dave is going to pick later in the show.
Oh, how cool.
Yep. And then, actually, we had a listener, Allison, who does really cool art, and she thought, I got to do something. We hope to get it in for Radiothon, but it didn't work. And we are giving away as a prize now. And I don't know if Dave can see the pictures, but she did this little Horse Radio Network mug. And she has the horse, they're in cocoa. The mug has cocoa. And she has a horse that looks like he's drank too much cocoa hanging out over the side, and another one trying to get into the mug. And Lisa, is it not the cutest thing you've ever seen?
It is totally cute. It's a white mug. It's got the red HRN logo and a gray horse and a chestnut. It's just awesome. I want one of those too.
I know, it is cute. It's cute as a Dickens. I don't even have one of those either. But we're going to be giving that away to a winner today as well. Dave will pick later in the show, and we'll be giving that away. By the way, you can find her Etsy store. Just go to Etsy and search for Chuck and Stan. All one word, Chuck and Stan. And you'll find her Etsy store. And thank you to all the listeners who have supported her. She had about 20 orders after we mentioned this the last time, and I'm sure she'll get more today. If she can, she will get it out to you. She goes above and beyond. She's super sweet. She's an auditor. And Allison, you got all that free publicity because you did something cool like this without me even know about it and sending it to me. So thank you for being a cool listener. We really appreciate that. And we'll be giving that away today as well. All right, Dave, we've started a thing probably since you've listened last where listeners can submit the ads that they read. They just record them on their phones and they send them to us, and they get double the credits for doing that.
Ooh.
So everybody wants to be in the pot twice, right?
Right.
Well, there's somebody that's been showing us up. Her name is Gemma. She's in college, a graduate student. Is she going for a doctorate? Something like that. And she's a graduate student, so she hasn't had a time to do a lot of readings, but she sent us a couple and basically make Jamie and I look like we suck. She is so good at this. And Jennifer was listening to the... I have not heard it, but Jennifer was listening to this today. She sent another one in, so everybody's now cheering that Gemma sent an ad in. Let's take a listen.
Hey, it's Gemma. I'm back with another 100% real Craigslist ad. I swear I do not make these things up. And this one also needs its own soundtrack. Own an American Legend. $125. Green River, Wyoming. The sun glistened off the snow-covered peaks in the distance. Slim stepped down from the back of his longtime friend into the undisturbed snow. Pulling his canteen from his saddle, he began to fill it from the half-frozen stream. He thought of how he and Red had been pushing cattle down from mountains when they crossed paths with rustlers. Slim fought hard, but in the end, he was outnumbered, 20-1. And he was left with one option, run. He remounted Red, and she instinctively lurched into action. With the rustlers following, Red plowed through the snow, climbing mountains without rest. She went all day and all night. Finally, when the rustlers' horses had been played out for several hours, it was Slim that gave out. He'd fallen asleep in the saddle. Red intuitively slowed as she tried to keep a friend in the saddle. Now he was awake and needed a drink. As water rippled around his canteen and slowly started pouring in through the top, Slim's mind went past the rustlers, back to when he first saw that powerful Mustang. She had been grazing with the ranch horses. As she playfully trotted around the other mares, her flaxen mane and tail were flowing like grain fields back at his parents' Kansas farm on a breezy day. Her smooth gait seemed to pause in midair. Her large hips promised great power, and her ears, short from frostbite, spoke of her toughness. She was a sorrel he had to make his own. Now, you know the story is fiction, but you can own the horse described, a true legend from the American West. Red is a young 3 to 4 year old mare. She has a sweet disposition and has already been started. This young mare allows you to pick up her feet, his halter broke, and loads well in a trailer. She has incredible potential, but does need someone with experience. Red is a Mustang and is part of the BLM adoption program, so her price is low. For more information to start this simple process, please call Dean.
Very wow. Well done, Gemma.
Oh, my goodness. I want to hear the rest of the story.
All right. Drop the mic. The show's over. We're done.
Holy cow.
Oh, man. That was great.
I feel so inadequate when I hear all the talent that the listeners have. I just feel like I'm a buffoon up here talking on a mic.
She needs to write a book. I mean, that's awesome.
I think she just did.
I think she did. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was great. That was terrific. All right.
Okay.
Next one. I have the next one, right? Yeah. Tabitha sent this in. Registered quarter horse mare, $300. I am looking to sell my quarter horse mare. There is nothing wrong with her besides the fact that she just won't load in a trailer. I've done some groundwork with her. I have her papers. She needs to go. She is a beautiful horse and will make a great horse for somebody else.
Right. And how you're supposed to get that horse to your house,
yes.
I'm not really sure.
Apparently
how.
Apparently you have to live close. You're going to be walking that sucker to your house.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
You know, some of these ads, you wonder, does anybody really call after that? Do they really? Oh. You know, Jennifer won't let us, but Jamie and I both want to call the people on the air live to find out if they've ever had a call or to find out the horses, just to play with them.
Yeah.
You know, but it makes Jennifer, because she always hated when the radio guys did that and embarrassed people on the air.
Right.
So she won't let us do it.
You just wonder what people are thinking sometimes.
Wow. And sometimes I am just curious, did you get any calls after that? You know. All right, let's hear. Dave, are you ready? Dave has one he's going to read too. You know, Dave doesn't know a lot about horses, so we had to find one that was appropriate, and I think Jennifer did.
Yes, this is titled Got Manure, and it says, if you have a horse, cow.
Wait a minute, Dave.
Oh.
This one's from Alabama, which means you need to do your best Southern accent.
My best Southern accent.
Yes, because,
accent.
Yes, that's required when right. You read ads when they're from the South. Yes.
Y'all got manure? if you have horse, cow, rabbit, pig, or any other farm poo, we can use it, and we want it. We have plenty of space to drop off as many loads of poo as you have. We use it to fertilize our gardens and trees, so we're always needing more around here, and we'd love to take that stinky stuff off your hands or trailer. We can also pick up small loads in our truck depending on your location. We appreciate your droppings. Text or call us to schedule a drop-off or pickup. There we go. Got manure, y'all? Money for poo. It doesn't get much better than that.
We get those ads all the time.
Now
Dave,
I want a horse. I didn't know they were a money-making proposition.
It's mostly people trying to sell their poo, and we're the ones that really want to call them and say, have you ever sold a load of poo?
Yeah.
Have you really ever done that?
Wow.
You know, Glenn, you should actually do that sometime. You should actually call.
I know. Jennifer won't let us. She makes her uncomfortable, so she won't let us.
So you need to have the callers. You need to have your listeners call. We'll do an end round, Jen,
and record it.
Yeah, we have to play it. It's from the listeners.
That's right. Yeah. We need Lisa to fill in as the. You need to fill in as the producer one day. We'll give Jennifer off, okay? And then
there
we'll
go.
Have a little fun
go.
With that. All right, we have another one here. This is from Claire. Claire read this one, so let's take a listen. Very well done, Dave.
Thank you.
Okay, here's another one. ISO yearling around 2 years old, or any horse.
I'm looking for a yearling around 2 years old or close to it for free or really cheap. Any started horse is relatively cheap or free would work. Also, I have got out of riding over the past 2 years and my kids are dying to get into it, so I must find something for myself to ride or break my way for the learning experience for them. Any breed is fine. Just prefer something that will mature to a good size horse. Text is the best way to reach me. Thank you.
My guess is there was no punctuation in that ad because Claire read it with, like, there was no punctuation.
No punctuation. No.
You know
no,
what's
no, no.
sad about that, though, Lisa? When you were listening to it, I know you were thinking this. You were thinking the unfortunate thing is she's going to end up with a real problem horse because that's the only ones that are free or $100.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Yes. Yes.
So it's going to be a nightmare from then on. That's just
it will be a train wreck for sure.
I had to teach Dave today the lesson about horses, about buying horses, and the cheapest part is buying the horse. Everything else then becomes very expensive.
Yes.
As far as buying the horse.
Yes.
And we always say if you can't afford to buy a horse, you can't afford to have the horse. Yeah, that's
there you go.
That's pretty much true.
Yes.
All right, you're up.
Me?
Stacy. Yeah, you're doing Stacy's.
Oh, goody. So this is actually one of my favorites. So it's registered Nigerian buck goat, ADGA. I'm not sure what that means. Beautiful 3-year-old buck needs a new hom, H-O-M, is a proven breeder. He is just a frustrated guy who needs to find a home with some girl goats. He is very friendly and walks very well on a leash. He would love to be a pet, but he stinks like a male goat, so I wouldn't recommend it. Oh, that's my favorite.
Nice.
Don't most men know when you really think about it?
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Robinson in the next one.
Super wide Western saddle, 15-inch gullet, 16-inch seat for big wide shoulder horse, 300 or affer, A trade. There was only one comment on this ad, and I had to see what that would be. And the comment was, not interested in Western saddles.
Why comment then?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny. All right, you have the next one, too. 007.
007. Free Morgan gelding horse. And this is from Okanagan, Washington. This is Boomer. He is a very beautiful, moody, and naughty gelding. Boomer needs a trainer and someone who is 100% dedicated, capital letters. If you can catch him, you can have him.
Nice.
Yeah, great. Dave doesn't know a thing about horses. Dave, that is not a good ad. That's not a good horse, is it?
I just love the fact that you have to catch him.
Yeah, because I can't. Yes. That's what that's it. I haven't caught that horse in 10 years.
Oh, man.
You know, why? I'm not even going there.
Yeah, why? That's the answer. That's the question right there. It's all you need to ask. All right, this one's good, too. This one's sent in by Michelle. And I think Michelle's out. Yeah, Michelle's in Norco, California, which is Horsetown, USA. Dave, if you've never been to Norco, California, it's right outside of L.A. And every house is about a half an acre, and every house has three horses. And this entire town has horses. I think it's a requirement. You live in town, you have to have horses. And they actually have saddle, instead of sidewalks, they have saddle trails and paths all through town. And we actually went out there for a week and did shows, and we went trail riding to lunch. To the restaurant, and they have a little corral. You just put your horses out in the little corral, go in and eat lunch, and come back out like the old West days.
Wow.
Every bar has a little corral because the guys go get drunk, and then they get on their horse, and the horse knows the way home. So it works out.
Nice.
It's an awesome place.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of unique. This one's Problem Horse, $3,800 in Norco, California. Well, everything's more expensive in California. He's an 8-year-old quarter horse that reared, flipped over, and broke my saddle. He's green, knows how to go forward and back up, and apparently knows how to rear and flip. Don't put your expensive saddle on him because he will flip over and break it. I've had him for 5 days, and I'm fed up with him.
Nice.
That was a short relationship.
Yeah.
I've had girlfriends about that long, too. I don't have a trailer. I'm very upset. I want him gone as soon as possible. He broke my $3,000 saddle.
Nice.
My goodness. And they want $3,800. Of course, that's going to buy the new saddle.
Yeah, no, the
Well, he's really an $800 horse, and he's just trying to recoup the saddle.
There you go.
There's
there
a picture here. He kind of has the same look as Scooter, doesn't he? Like,
he
I'm going to be sweet
like
and nice until I break your $3,000 saddle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's a bay. I mean, he's actually kind of cute.
He is kind of cute.
You know, doesn't look like he's real big, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, he's got the Scooter look, though.
He does. Yes, he does.
He's got the eye of the scooter.
The eye of the scooter. There's
the eye.
He's the eye of the scooter. He's the, yeah.
He'll Dave actually played in a band. He can sing. Yes. So, yeah.
Rising up to break your $3,000 saddle.
And he can write songs, too.
Yes, that's right. Okay, you're hired. You can stay.
Oh.
All right, you have Reginald.
Reginald, 7-year-old, AY Arab Gelding, $1. Had 6 weeks professional training last year. This year, haven't rode much and now can't catch him. If you can catch him, you can have him. Bring your own lead rope.
I'm not even helping you. You're on your own.
You know, there is a market out there for some horse trainer who can go out and catch horses, you know?
Yeah, a lot of free horses, apparently.
There's a market out there.
Contact the local track team, apparently.
Yes. That's funny. And you know what, Dave? It works every week like this. We've been doing this for 5-6 years now, every Friday. And there seems to be a theme. We don't plan it this way. Like, today's the theme is you can't catch them.
Right.
You know, it seems to be the theme every time. Well, let's see what Avery has to say about her ad.
Yeah.
Moving garage sale, Palestine, Texas. Garage/moving sale. Friday through Saturday, 8 a.m. till we pass out. Address at end of post. It's time to wake up, do a big stretch, crack your fingers and toes, slap your cheeks, don't care which ones, sit up straight and get super excited. I'm excited to announce the official day of my mom and dad's hoarding intervention. We've named it Patty and Pat's Party Palooza. Everything must go. This is beyond exciting if you are a budding collector of antiques, model trains, World War II memorabilia, knives, guns, or any other item a professional garage saler or bargain hunter, or simply curious about a real live hoarder. It's pretty interesting. Now, allow me to explain this just a little bit so you know what you'll be dealing with. I'm her son. So, I just want to prepare you. My mother is really just the sweetest woman on this side of the Trinity River. She's still got all her teeth attached to her head. My father isn't so lucky. She has only one problem, and it's been a secret till now. My mother is kind of a hoarder with champagne tastes. She loves the stuff. She can't get enough. And we're giving it away for a beer budget. Some of the items so far include gun safe, antique dresser with mirror, 5-year-old boy, 1715 New Holland tractor, 4 Rocky Mountain horses, horse trailer, 3 saddles, saddle racks, round pin, and all the horse stuff you can think of, even a mini horse cart. Office equipment and supplies, surround sound, clothes that we have never/lightly worn, kids' clothes, kids' play stuff, sports equipment, tools, power and otherwise, kitchen utensils, washer and dryer, Noritec Progression Sunny Side Dish Complete Set, paper shredder, home decorating items, mystery items, and of course, a free pile, which you will be required to take something from. Early birds are welcome. We have plenty of yard cleanup equipment that you can use until the sale actually opens to everyone at 8 a.m. sharp. An orderly start. Haas is not here for crowd control, but I am. Let's play nice.
Okay, would you have Haas in the ad?
That's it.
You know what that's going to be like.
You know. Oh, my goodness.
Do you think?
Can you imagine what that woman's house looks like?
Do you think she knows they're going to sell her horses?
Oh,
holy cow.
Okay, your horses are out of here.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wow.
Equestrian Elegance sent in the next one. ISO registered horse. ISO registered horse. Don't care what breed. Just want it registered so I can show. What kind of matters what breed, actually, doesn't it?
If you're, it does.
Yeah,
yes.
It does. Need a solid sound horse with good feet. It always helps. Easy keeper, bomb proof. No bite, bulk, spook, or kick. Don't care about the color and open to various ages. Prefer a mare, but would not turn my nose up to that perfect gelding. As close to Colorado Springs as possible. No tiny, delicate horses, please. To kind of get tiny, delicate horses. You want fat, round ones?
Gee.
I don't know what that means.
So it doesn't put her budget in there, you know?
No.
So she you know, is she looking like
$100? I want it for $100.
What does bomb-proof mean? That's the I'm like.
Bomb-proof is a term used in horse ads that means you can do anything. You can do anything with this horse. It's the perfect horse, and usually they want the perfect horse for about $100.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of those free horses are registered.
Oh, there you go.
That's it.
Yeah, well, we could match them up.
Free.
You know,
the
we wanted to do that too. We wanted to call two people during really bad ads and get them matched up.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because you call this guy and go, how fast can you run?
Yeah. Do you have a lead rope? All right. Our last one is the trailer of the week. You want to do that one?
Yes. Horse trailer in good condition. Isn't the prettiest, but nice and sturdy, and also has floor mats. Email with any questions. And this comes in from Karen Unger. $1,000 in Minden, wherever that is. And you have to take a look at this photo. I mean, it is a rust bucket. I mean, it's a stock trailer rust bucket. And you can't even tell what color it was.
Now, we usually say when we see these trailers that they're rust colored. This one's actually just rust.
Yeah.
It's just rust. It's not rust color. It's just rust. And oh, my goodness. And the tires, from what I can see, look not great.
They've been
1940s era.
Yeah.
Tires is what those are.
I mean, seriously, I wouldn't.
I like the hitch
in here. I wouldn't haul hay.
I like the hitch at the front. You know, usually the hitch has that nice little triangle thing, so it's stable.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
the hitch is like an old galvanized pipe from somebody's plumbing.
And it's like 6 feet long.
It sticks straight out the front. You're right. That thing's going to haul like a bitch, let me tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be all over the road.
Yeah. Oh.
When I first saw the picture, I thought it like someone had painted it brown. And then I went, oh, no, it's just rust.
It's just rust.
It's just rust. I do see just some hint of dark, you know, around the kind of the upper seam there. So maybe it was darker at one point.
Yeah. And you know what, Dave? We get these every week. We probably had 250 horse trailers. And they never, never mow around them when they take the picture.
Oh, no. No, you'd think, you know, just dress it up a little bit. Put maybe some flower pots around. Never.
All right, we have to pick some winners, and Dave is here. He's going to do that for us. We really appreciate that. So we have, first, we're going to give away the Mary Kitzmiller creation of the Horse Radio Network logo in wood, the wood sign, and this will be only the second one, and Mary will sign it for you. So we're going to pick between what numbers and what numbers, Jennifer?
Oh, 1 and 287.
287. Between 1 and 287, Dave.
Okay, we will go with 146.
146. Jennifer, look at your magic list.
146.
Stacy
Brown wins.
Stacy Brown. Yay, Stacy. And if you don't want the sign, Lisa will take it.
I will take it, yes. Or Glenn will take it.
You can re-gift it to Lisa. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want that masterpiece.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yes. It's gorgeous. Absolutely.
We have the best, Dave. I'm declaring it today. We have the best logo, our little horsey microphone in the business. We have the best logo in the business. I'm declaring it. Auditor Allison Muldoon's creation of the little tiny mug with the horses wallowing around in the hot chocolate is going to go to number?
212.
212, Jennifer.
Good numbers, Dave.
Thank you.
Good numbers.
I worked hard on those.
Thought all day about it. Yeah. Woke up thinking about it this morning. What numbers am I going to pick?
Celeste Coulter wins the tiny
mug. Celeste. Good job. Yay. One of our auditors. Terrific, Celeste. Thank you so much for sending in your submissions, everybody. We really appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about schedule. First, let's find out where you can find Dave. Dave, I cannot believe how many of our listeners who are not podcasters listen to School of Podcasting, and it's because you are so entertaining. You make us look like we're not funny at all, and I truly love that about the show, is entertainment first, education through entertainment, and you do that the best. So where can people find it?
SchoolofPodcasting.com.
Anything else you want to plug while you're here?
If you want to see everything that I do, you can go to PowerOfPodcasting.com, and that will that shows all the crazy shows that I do. So
now, make my wife feel better about the number of URLs that I own. How many URLs do you own?
Over 100.
See?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How does that happen?
One at a time.
He's a hoarder. A hoarder.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Because
I
might do something with it someday.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
His kids are going to be putting an ad in Craigslist. My dad.
great domain if you can catch it.
Yeah. That's right. Bring your lead rope.
Yeah. Well, they have the new dot horse URLs now, too.
Oh,
so
boy.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They're expensive, though, if I remember right,
yeah.
aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Those custom ones are more expensive. But thank you so much, Dave, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
This has been a treat. It really has. It's I feel like I'm on hallowed ground here in the HRN office. It's really, really cool.
Well, and he is looking, from his vantage point, he looks at all the auditors on the wall, their pictures on the wall. So he gets reminded why we're here and who we're talking to. Lisa, they can still buy your books for Christmas, right?
Oh, absolutely. In stores and online, everywhere. The Cat Enright series is the Opium Equation, the Magnum Equation, and the Fame Equation. And they're fun reads, safe
really
for 12-year-olds on up. So, And you know, we are still under option for film and television. So, you know, hopefully we'll have some good news there at some point soon.
Yay! I get to be in a movie.
Plug in for Lisa's books.
Do we get to play ourselves? Please make that happen, Lisa.
That would be cool.
Who else could play us?
I will do my best. But as Steve will tell you, sometimes, you know, powers that be kind of intervene. But I will put in a good
word.
I'll
let them come to the studio and film. You know, I'm good at it now.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to give Willie a shout out too. Willie's over here. He's filming. And everybody has heard the story, who are regular listeners, of when they came to film the last time. And have you heard the story, Dave?
I think. Maybe.
Yeah. And Willie is a city boy. Let's say he hasn't had too much horse exposure in his life. And he's there filming. And they needed somebody in the cart with me, with Scooter, who has been known to bolt in the past. And they needed somebody in the cart with me. And Willie was elected with his camera to be in the cart. And everything was going fine until Neil flew the drone a little too low and Scooter didn't like it, and Scooter was out of there. And so we had a baby bolt, we call them BBs, we had a baby bolt, and you should have seen his face. Now Willie is a black man who turned white. He turned white in that moment.
Oh my goodness.
Or didn't you, Willie? He was a little scared. Did you watch the footage after? Was it bouncing up and down? Yeah. I bet it was. It was fun, though. He has something to talk about with his kids someday.
Yes.
So thank you, Willie, for being the scapegoat and the guinea pig in that one. Yeah, we appreciate that. Now, next week, what's going to happen is Jamie will be here Monday and Wednesday. We have a certified horsemanship show for you on Tuesday. And then we put together, at listener request, they insisted that we put together, get this, Dave, they wanted to have the songs and some of the poems from Radiothon.
Hmm.
So they wanted a special episode with just them in it so they could listen to the whole thing at once.
Nice.
Lisa, I put that together. Have you ever, Dave, had a sound file on your computer with 43 tracks?
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
It had 43 tracks. It's an hour long, and I did not use them all.
Wow.
So that is from the Radiothon. We had an hour, and that's just songs. That's not people's, other things. That's not talking. That is just songs and poems.
Well, and the songs that I heard, because I listened most of the day, I mean, they were incredibly funny, and they were heartwarming and touching, and certainly that's going to be a great hour of radio.
And I want to acknowledge to the auditors who all think that Biz Stamm's Jewish song was the most popular. It is in there. You will hear Biz Stamm's Jewish song. And we have found out that Biz is not our only Jewish listener. We have two. Rachel is also a Jewish listener. So in all the world, we have
Rachel.
Two Jewish listeners that we know about. There are probably more, but let us know if you're Jewish. We would like to add you to make it three. That's it. We're out of here. Have a terrific weekend. Thank you so much, Dave, for joining us and for the film crew for being here. Lisa, as always, you are a delight. Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you. Thank you, Glenn, and thank you, Jen. And Dave, great to meet you.
Yeah, it's great to meet everybody. I always say happy Kwanzaa Masika. That, I think, covers everybody.
All right, we'll do that again, and I'll play the music.
Happy Kwanzaa Masika.
Perfect.